and welcome to another episode of the Puzzle of Love podcast. I am your suck up a love host because I'm a hopeless romantic Dante. Again, here with the dazzling
Selena.
And we have another fantastic couple to vibe with today. Everyone say hi. Well, we can't hear you, but you can say hi to the Puzzle of Love listeners out there, Asha and Jamar.
Hi.
What up, what up, what up?
What up, what up?
Puzzle of Love, if it's confusing in the title, every single couple, every single relationship has several different pieces to their puzzle that make things work. And so we'll dive into some of the pieces that make Jamar and Asha the couple that they are. And there's no better way to learn a little bit more about them than through their origin story. So we'll kick things off with the game that has no name, but we've been calling it the 2-minute drill. Each of you will get 1 minute to contribute to your origin story. One of you will go first, and wherever you end up in that minute, the other will pick up where you left off, and we'll see where we can get in 2 minutes. Now, the only rule is that you cannot interrupt when it's not your turn. Ooh. Which means you got a 1 minute to freestyle. You can say whatever you want because everyone has their own perception of how this boy meets girl story may have went. So, Asha, you won to determine the order. So will you be starting or will you
No, I will not. I will be passing to Jamar.
Oh, okay. Right.
Nice. Nice.
All right, Jamar, you get to start us off. I will count us down. I do believe Kalina has the timer ready.
All right.
All right.
Freestyle.
In 3, 2, 1.
So, how I met this beautiful human being here. I have a cousin who used to date her cousin. That's back when the PL Fair was fun, right? We used to go to PL Fair. It was a good time. It was just the bros. And she's seen my two younger cousins at the PL Fair. She greeted them. I didn't know her, you know, but once I seen what I seen, it was inevitable. I needed that, right? And so me knowing that my cousin dated her cousin, it was easy. Right. It was a layup for me. Right. I asked my cousin, hey, put me on. He was sloughing. So what do I do? I put myself on. I make the phone call. I get the initial number, but then she wasn't messing with me. So a whole almost 2 years go by. I am persistent. Right. Text messages, phone call.
Time.
Ooh. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Asha, it's on you. Three, two, one.
Okay, so after him being super persistent for about 2 years, I finally was like, forget it. We about to go on a date. So we planned a date, went to the drive-in, the one in Kent, when it was open and popping. Went and got some food afterwards, and then he took me home, and then a month later, we made it official, actually boyfriend and girlfriend, and we've been together ever since. So 14 years later, here we are, married with 2 kids.
14. Oh, man, you guys left. You're the first person to leave that much time on the clock. You can go ahead and stop.
It ain't that long.
It's real boom, boom, boom.
Right, bro. It's real boom, boom, boom. It's a wonderful story, babe. I want you to try to recap what just happened. I've recapped the last couple. I want to see how good your listening skills are because you're watching the clock as well. So
from what I gather is that Jamar went to the PL Fair with some of his buddies or cousins and the fellas. His cousin was dating Asha's cousin. And so he felt like, you know, since the cousins, you know, they were dating, or his cousin and her cousin were dating, you know, it'd be pretty easy to get her number and date her. But it took him 2 years to even get a conversation. And then once he got the conversation, they went on a date. And then they started dating, make it official, and then 14 years later, They're still together.
Yeah.
That sound about right? I get it.
That's it.
All right. So I got some questions. I got some questions. Babe, go ahead and ask your questions.
Why did it take 2 years?
That was going to be my question.
So the 2 years wasn't like a 2 year. It was like more of a conversation, right? Through text messages, just a real friendship, right? I would say in the beginning, it was more like a good 6 months. We've seen each other a couple of times, either in passing or at parties, or, you know, it's kind of a quick conversation, but she was like, still kind of brushing me off. The 2 year span is just like real deep conversation, text messages, phone calls, just getting to know each other. Obviously, she's not from here, so I had never seen her before like that, but I know her family. So it was cool, right? I always just kick it. My cousin kicked it with her cousin, so we always knew, you know, I know the other side of the cousins. So it was cool, but I never was able to really connect with her like, hey, I'll take you on a date or let's go hang out or anything like that. So yeah, a 2 year span of just like text messages, phone calls, things like that. But I stayed on track though.
Yeah. That's sort of where my question was like, what was the constant motivator, you know, even 2 years later? Because, you know, she called it out. It was persistent. So what kept you persistent?
She wasn't from here. I'm born and raised in Seattle. I know just about everybody that's in my age range, you know what I mean? Whether it's male or female. And she wasn't from here. She was from San Francisco. Her cousins lived in Lakewood. So that's that's another part of the world to us that live in Seattle. So that was a whole nother thing, right? They called it the Wood, like movie. I'm like, okay, cool. It wasn't like Tacoma. So we used to go out there, kick it, have fun, drive back home, right? And then also her not being from here. So I got to hear stories about San Francisco or the Bay, right? So that was an interesting conversation. And then once things got more conversation about her as an individual or her as a, you know, her family oriented self, then that's where the conversations always lied. So it was perfect.
Gotcha. And then,
and she's a shoe freak.
That is why is that a consistent thing? I mean, I love it. Of course, yeah. I'm a shoe fanatic, but shoes have been a pivotal part of the origin story for a lot of folks, man.
That was my first gift to her, from me to her for her birthday. And in return favor, I got the same thing with matching hats, because I'm a hat and a shoe freak. So yeah, it worked out.
Okay, so Asha, my follow-up question to your side of this 2 years, what about the persistence, or what in addition to his persistence really piqued your interest?
Honestly, I really just liked his conversation. That was it. It was good conversation. And then once we finally got to hang out just on a one-on-one tip, it was easy, you know? There was like instant chemistry. So it just kind of flowed. And from there, it was like, we just talked every day since then. And it was like, all right, we doing this. Here we are.
And 14 years later.
Right.
Man. Married with two of them dang.
Yeah.
All right. So kind of fill in some of the blanks. We're not going to get 14 years in one show, and no one would ask you to do that. But I'm going to fast forward to when things got serious. And this is before I do. Like, this is we're engaged, making plans to spend our lives together.
I got this one.
Yeah, talk about that, because there's different phases of relationships. So talk about this. All right, we're a thing for real.
So I'm gonna be completely honest with you.
Please do.
He did not really do the whole "I'm gonna propose to you" type thing. It was a conversation. We went to go look at a ring. I picked it out. He bought it, brought it back home, and put it on my finger. And literally 3 months later, we got married at the courthouse. So that kind of was just the
super
flow of
non-traditional.
Things. Literally just, we doing this and that's it. We had our daughter 7 years into our relationship. And I think having her, for me, kind of solidified us really being like, okay, this is a family, this is who I want to be with. But also marriage wasn't really top of my list because I don't have solid marriages to look at, you know? So it was like, we could shack up for the rest of our life. I'm okay with that. But he wanted marriage, so we did that too.
Yeah, for me, I wanted marriage. I wanted a wife. I grew up with just moms, you know what I mean? I got brothers and sisters, but in my household, it was just me and my mom. All right, so I definitely wanted that family oriented. I already had a kid. So my son was about 8 months or so when me and her got together, and it was just me and him, right? So when we joined, it was like, it was an easy transition. Like there was no hiccups, you know what I mean? There was nothing where it's like, oh, you already have a kid. I think she already seen that great father figure in me. So nothing was like, oh, like a stray, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said 14 years of just fun and just kicking it, you know, just being friends in a relationship. I think that's what makes it easiest. Right, we already had talked for almost, you know, 2 years, just chopping it up, just getting to know each other. So once it came official and we're kicking it more, we're seeing each other more, I think it was just real easy, just real easy. And then the fact that she knew two of my cousins who are also like my brothers. So that made it easier too, right? Knowing them and knowing what we were all about, it was like, oh, then she can just kick it with the homies. So, yeah.
So a whole different meaning to the term friends with benefits there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it. So you touched on a couple of things, and I'm sure we'll get into some topics later in the show. But for right now, now you guys are married, right? And you guys had an untraditional transition from pre-married to married. As they say, shacking up, living in sin, and things of that nature, actually way more common than people want to imagine. But I have to imagine that the pre and post I do are completely different. Correct me if I'm wrong, but talk about what life has been like since making it official in becoming that union.
There you go.
I will say nothing changed. The only thing that changed was I technically was able to take his last name, but we still were doing everything together in a sense, you know, sharing bills, you know, those type of things, shared bank accounts, you know, all the things that we used to take care of our family, it was already joint together. So there was nothing that really changed after that for me.
I would say the one thing we did traditionally was we went to marriage counseling. We did do that. I have an uncle who's a pastor. He's based out of Pasadena, California. And that's just one thing I was like, let's do it. You know what I mean? All my family supported the marriage, right? Supported the relationship. And my uncle was like, if I don't give you any advice, take my course for marriage counseling. And I will probably say out of the 14 years, that is like one of the, any advice I give to any couple, like if you're going to get married, do marriage counseling. It helped us so much. And the one thing I take from that is knowing how to argue. I didn't know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, yeah, you gotta learn how to argue. I was like, learn how to argue? No, we're just going to hash it out. You know what I mean? But there's a way to argue when you're married or as a committed couple is a way to argue. And we learned that in that marriage counseling. And like I said, everybody has their agreements, whether they disagree or agree or whatever, and has their little, you know, feuds, but it's far in between.
So what are the rules? I wholeheartedly agree that there is a way to argue. I don't know if I can articulate what my rules would be, and they probably don't match up with everyone else's.
I argue
to win. And
we both argue to win, right? We both argue to win. I'm an Aries, she's a Leo. Two fire signs. So when it's good, it's great. When it's not good, it's not ugly. Good, right? It's not good. But learning how to argue is not going for the jugular. You know what I mean? Not saying things to like personally jab or personally like take down individuals or a flaw that might be something that they're working on or haven't, you know, came to the forefront. You don't jab at it. You know what I mean? Do we have a tendency of doing that at times? Yeah, but it's still like in love though. You know what I mean? It's still in love and loyalty. Like she might be like, say something to me and I'm like, you know, you ain't supposed to say that. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's all love at the end of the day. Another thing, don't go to bed mad. That's probably the biggest one I can think of. Like, don't go to bed mad. Like, don't be in the bed together, like mad at each other. Don't go to sleep mad. Don't wake up mad, right? Hash it out that night, wake up in the morning, start fresh.
You're just soaking it all up.
No, I'm just listening. I think that, I think those are two principles that we also learned in marriage counseling and definitely try to go by that, those principles, because I think it's important for both of those things. Definitely not crossing over boundaries when you're arguing and you're having disagreements. There's a certain boundaries you don't cross. And I think we've held true to that principle and trying to, you know, make sure that everything is right before God, for one, and with each other before we go lay down and go to sleep. So I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. And I like to find like those gray areas and things. So I'm like, so if it's already nighttime, technically I didn't let the sun go down on my wrath. So I get a whole 24 hours before I have to get this, like, right? Like, that's how it works, right?
You
defined it how you want to define it. That's how we'll do that.
You can define it like that. You can definitely define it like that. I'm an early morning guy, so I work early morning. So you can, you're a tough one.
The answer is no.
I know. They try to
the answer. That's the gray area.
I'm always trying to find that place where I can just live. You know what I mean? No, but you touched on something too, because, you know, even in arguing, it can be in love, right? And I kind of wanted to transition before we take this first break. I wanted to transition to part of your answers to the pre-screener, right? You guys both did the surveys, and I don't know if you've shared your responses with one another. Most couples haven't. If you have, that's not a problem. But I want to get your reaction in regards to what I deem one of my favorite questions in the entire screener, and it's centered around those top three attributes, right, that you define love to be. Like, what does it mean to you?
I don't remember mine, so.
Good, because I'm going to read yours and I want to get Asha's reaction. So, Jamar, your top three were loyalty, intimacy, and support.
Mm.
Now, Asha, when you hear that, is there anything that is shocking in regards to those being his top three, or is it par for the course?
No, that's about average with him. And kind of what we experience in our relationship. He's all about loyalty, because from the moment I came into the situation with him, I was down for him and his son, you know, our son, I should say, because that's our son. What else was there? Loyalty.
Intimacy and support.
Support. I've always pushed him to go for what he wants to go for. When it came to getting a CDL, it was, all right, leave this job, focus on school, I'll man the boat for home, and I got you until you're done and you recover a job, you know. Intimacy, no, that's a given. I want to say that was one of mine too, so.
Yeah, so.
Babe, you want to go ahead and reveal Asha's to Jamar and get his response?
Yep, so Asha's, yours was honesty, friendship, and accountability.
Oh, I didn't put intimacy.
I could see all those. I could see all those. Accountability, yeah. Yeah, and honesty. Like, she has, like, a no-lie, like, code. Like, deep to the core. like, just don't lie. So I've always been honest with her. You know, I think we've established our in our relationship where whether it's good, bad, or ugly, just like lay it out there, right? Let that person soak it in, adjust, maybe take a moment, come back. But we've always been open and honest, whether it's like me come back from the gym, like, you stink. You know what I mean? That's fine. Cool. Understandable. Right. I might not smell myself sometimes. Cool. But just being open and honest, right? Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, I think we stick to that. And we're teaching our kids that too. Like, I want to know. I want to know if it's good, bad, or ugly. There should be no secrets. So I don't really, there's not too many things I don't tell her when it comes to myself or at work. And yeah, she's my trash bag when I have to vent. You know what I mean? I put it all into her and she crumbles it up. All right, you're done now. You're good. So I think she's hit it on the head. That's that friendship. Like being able to tell the person whatever, right? There's no judgment, you know? So I love it.
That's super dope. And I want you to know how smooth you are to reference your wife as your trash bag and make it sound good. That was...
You did that. That was
you got to empty yourself out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially back from work. I drive trucks and I deal people on the road. I deal people in person. So I empty all my craziness into her. She gives me her feedback. All right, cool. She crumbles it up, tosses it out. All right, we're done. All right.
And I think the great thing is that you know that once you pour into her, the trust of, you know, her crumbling up. And if you think of that, and you know, if you not literally, but just like she takes it from you and then she throws it out and you're like, okay, we're good, we're done.
Yeah. 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 So vice versa. I'm hers as well, you know, dealing with her job. So she calls me and pours in. Cool. Are you good? You straight? Do I got to go up there and handle anything for it? All right. Cool. Yeah, we're good. Oh, do we know where she lives? you know, did you get the customer's email? Oh, okay, cool.
That's a pretty normal conversation. It's a normal conversation.
She works in the medical field, you know what I mean? And people can be brutal, you know, when it comes to, you know, their health. And it's understandable. But she comes home, pours into me. I crumble it up for her, take the trash out. Go on to the next day. What's for dinner? You know?
That's a jewel. So I think now is a good time to take a quick break. And on the other side, we can dive in a little bit deeper in regards to you guys' family dynamic that you spoke to earlier, and we like to go into break with music. And whether you know it or not, you guys helped us with our sequences. And Asha, you picked, and people are going to get tired of hearing me say this, but you literally picked one of my favorite duets of all time. Like, I don't know that there's a better duet than this one. It's Eric Benet and Tamia.
Yeah, yes.
In my life, with like, what? So we're going to tap into a little bit of that, and then we'll reconnect on the other side.
All right.
I never knew such a day could come. And I never knew such a love could be inside of one. I never knew what my life was for, but now that you're here, I know for sure.
I never knew till I looked in your eyes.
No, babe.
I wasn't complete till the day you walked into my life. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. We're going to dig a little deeper into your story and just talk about one instance that we read in your pre-screener when you guys first, I don't know if when you first got married or just kind of the beginning of your relationship, when there was a little bit of a challenge with Asha and your mother-in-law, or his mother. I'm actually, like I said, I don't know if you're married yet, but his mom. Talk more about how that was for you, Asha.
It was rough, I will say, because Jamar and his mom are really, really close. Like, he's the only child, and, you know, it's always just been those two. So being that me and her having conflict, it's like he felt like he was in the middle, which he kind of was in a sense, even though that wasn't my intention on that, because that's his mom. I can never replace her. And I was his girlfriend at the time, so she can't beat me either, you know, in that sense. So it was very challenging. I will say for Jamar, he did stick beside me and all of that, which also showed his loyalty to me and trusting that I was still going to be there in the end, even though we were going through this little bit of a rough patch with his mom. But I will say, towards at the end of it all, I never really got a full explanation, but I can kind of, after talking to other people, I can kind of understand. As a mom, you feel like you might be losing your child when another woman comes in and kind of steps up and becomes the person that he goes to instead of going to you. So I can understand that kind of like feeling like a loss in a sense, like almost a death, basically. So
yeah, and Jamar, talk about it from your end, because as Asha said, and as I kind of imagine it, like, you're mitigating between, you know, two women that you feel really strongly for completely different reasons. Like, if there was ever an epitome of apples to oranges, your relationship with your mom and your relationship with Asha are apples to oranges. So they cannot be compared. Talk a little bit about where you were from a mental perspective to kind of mitigate and manage that trial.
At heart, I'm a real, real chill dude. You know what I mean? I don't need the glitz and glamour for the most part. You know what I mean? So I'm chill. For me, how I dealt with it, talk to moms on a one-on-one, talk to Asha on a one-on-one. And then at times when we got together, we still had those candid conversations together. Nothing like didn't dive right into it, kind of like, where it was like, hey, let's sit down and have a meeting about what y'all feuding about. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, hey, Asha, respect her as my mom or as a mother figure. Mom, respect my girlfriend as she's my girlfriend. I already have a son, and she's there for my son as if, you know, it's hers, right? I'm like, so you should already feel some type of respect for her just off that muscle. She's helping with your grandson, and she doesn't have to, right? Loving on your grandson as if she birthed him herself. I think it was more so what she said, like, oh, my son is now with her, so he doesn't need me as much. And it wasn't the case. It was kind of like, hey, this is my girlfriend. This is who I would like to be with. And I'm spending a lot more time there, right? Not calling moms for things that I would normally call her for, or not call her as frequently as I would call her for, or even just stopping by and just chilling, or hair up on the weekends. Let's go get something to eat. Let's go shop or whatever. The things that we used to do. So when holidays time come around, oh, what you doing? You want to ride together? Like, oh no, I'll just meet you there. You know, I'm about to go pick up Asha or something like that. Mm-hmm. So things like that, or oh, I'm about to catch a flight. We're going to the Bay to go see our family. Like, what? You know what I mean? And I'm scared to fly. I hate flying. So things like that. So things that she already know, and I'm doing them now. She's like, nah, you're changing. Mm-hmm. I'm not changing, I'm evolving. So that was a thing for her. But now those guys talk, and I don't even know they be talking.
Very true.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, we're in public, it's daughter. You know what I mean? It's not like daughter-in-law, like, that's my daughter.
Right.
It's you know, laugh, cry, fight together, you know what I mean, type thing, or something happens with one of the kids and those guys team up. And I was like, look at my kids, like, you got to deal with moms and Nana. I can't save you. So those guys are like two peas in a pod now, and I love it. I love
it. That's awesome. I think, I mean, you know, that was a trial, and now, you know, you're close, right? Do you think that you became close because you became wife, or do you think that she just kind of realized you're here and her son loves you, and you shoot, you know, you were able to show up and show her that you really love and is down for her son?
My daughter changed that. Yeah. She always wanted a girl, and having my daughter was like, this is what I asked for. And when she came in, it was like a really a full circle for us. And we, from that moment on, it's just been like, we've been super, super close and together. So I honestly, my daughter was that blessing that made that come full circle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. You know, it's an element that I don't think is talked about enough in regards to the impact that family has on the outside of how successful a relationship can be, right? I hate to use this word, but I can't think of one that's more appropriate. But there are times where, and it doesn't even have to be your mom, right? It could be siblings, cousins, whatever, where family kind of sabotages a relationship that could flourish, right? But, you know, it's really hard to, you know, differentiate. And I commend you, Jamar, for stepping up the way you did, because as I read your story, you know, based on the answers in the pre-screener, I thought of how comical that dynamic is in Martin, right? Like, Martin and Gina, they're a thing. It's not going to change. Mama Payne is not feeling it whatsoever, right? And Jamar's mom, you are not Mama Payne in any way. I want you to let you know. I'm just drawing a comparison. But it's made to be funny, right, in the show. But in the show, Martin never confronts his mom about it, right? He's always siding with, like, hey, that's my mom. And whereas you stood your ground on both sides. It wasn't like, yo, respect my mom. Mom, do your thing. It was, yo, respect my mom. Mom, respect my woman, right? And that's commendable, because that doesn't always happen. You can't even put into words how valuable it is for you, who is probably in the toughest position out of the three, because you're, again, literally caught in the middle, to be able to mitigate that the way you did. So, bravo. Matter of fact, everybody give him a round of applause. Like,
yeah, no, it was dope. It's dope. I love the relationship now. I'd say it wasn't easy. And I'm okay with it, because now the times are team up on me, and I'm like, all right, man, I will put both of you guys out, no matter where we are. So I love it. I love it. I forgot I put Martin in there. See, I knew it was a reason. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, art imitating life. We see it all the time, but we see it for, you know, the face value of the thing, right? Like, the Mama Payne element is extremely funny. But
it's forgotten too.
But it's forgotten. Again, it's not something that's necessarily talked about. It's usually talked about in the sense of friends being the ones that influence, like, you know, keep your friends out of your business, or keep your friends and, you know, keep them, you know, at a healthy distance and put boundaries up with your relationship. But family's not necessarily talked about as much. But another family dynamic that you guys have referenced more than one time is the fact that, Jamar, you biologically have a son that Asha isn't yours biologically, which makes you, you know, by definition, I guess, a blended family, right? And all, I don't really like that term, because there's so many different dynamics of what can make a family a blended family. But within this relationship, there's that third party that may or may not be present, or may have a presence that's bigger or smaller. I don't necessarily know, and I'm certainly not asking you to divulge, but clearly there was someone involved with you, Jamar, prior to you two getting together. So kind of talk about the evolution of Jamar being the single father dating Asha to Asha, you know, as you made mention to, like, you know, loving on this child as if it were her own. And Asha, you even said, our son. So talk kind of about that evolution too.
For me, no, I wasn't with that individual anymore, but I didn't grow up with my dad as in the household, right? Or with me all the time. So I'm gonna be the best father that I know possible, right? So I didn't show any flaw when it came to me being a father. So I think that made it easier. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, he's doing his thing. Like, it's not like, oh, he's asking me to take over and be mom. Like, nah, I didn't ask, right? But it's a package deal, right? And that was something that was made up front. Whatever this is, it's a package deal, right? It's not just me when I don't have them, or me when I do have them. Nah, it's whether I have them or not. Phone call, hey, I'm just gonna go stop by, just go say what's up, whatever the case is. Hey, you wanna come, you got a birthday coming up, you wanna come to the party? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let it be known, right? This is who I wanna be with, but this is also my son. So I didn't try to, you know, differ where I was at times. And then as time went on, on my days, I would go kick it with her and we would all kick it together. So definitely just dove right in.
Yeah. And I have to just piggyback off of that. He did make it clear from the beginning that it was a package deal. And so I knew what I was getting myself into before we even got into a technical like relationship. So stepping into a relationship, I had already met JJ and everything. And we just instantly meshed then too, when he was 8 months. So it was just kind of like, okay, this works. This is, you know, it's cool. It's fun. And yeah, that was it.
Well, I mean, can everyone have this blended family story? I'm sure everybody's like, I mean, there's ladies out there wanting the Sierra prayer. I think fellas are wanting that Jamar prayer real quick.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I went through the court system and had to fight for, you know, my visitations like that. And she stood by me every step of the way, whether it was filing paperwork, just being in the courtroom, whatever the case is, right? It wasn't a smooth sailing to get to this point now where I have majority custody of him. And she stood there 10 toes down, right? Ready to fight, ready to, you know, cry with me, ready to whatever, you know, whatever it came down to, she was right there. So like that support, that loyalty. Yeah, I'm good. All right. I'm good where I'm at. I know what I get when I get with her. So.
And babe, do you have any?
No.
Okay. I want to touch on another element to, and it doesn't even have to be a blended family situation, but anytime there is a household with a two-parent household, I think it's overstated in regards to the impact that the absence of a father has, right? Talk about, you know, the stability that it brings for a son to have someone that they can look up to, a woman, or, you know, a daughter to have a father figure in the house, a male figure in the house to understand what it feels like or what looks like to be loved by a man. But one thing that's not necessarily spoken about is the opposite side of that coin that I think really, it really resonates with you two without even speaking. And that's, you know, for your son's sake, being able to see how he ought to be treated by a woman, right? Not just how he should treat a woman. You know, Jamar, you're giving him that example, but also Asha, you're giving him the example of what he can or should accept, right? So if it's a scenario where, you know, Asha, I'm not saying that you do this, but you're ridiculing, you emasculate him, things of that nature. If JJ sees that, then it's not going to be uncommon or shouldn't be a shock if he finds a woman that, you know, is treating him like a simp, right? And vice versa, right? A woman, a daughter sees, oh, this is how I should be talking to my man or treating my man. Yeah. You know, it could have a reverse effect. So sometimes even having the man in the household may not necessarily be the most positive impact simply because of how toxic the mom or the woman figure could be. So it's not necessarily something that's talked about, because, you know, single mothers automatically are deemed like superheroes, and I'm single mom. I'm not saying you're not, but it's never necessarily talked about how it could be, there could be a character flaw there. So I think that is beautiful that you guys talk as unison, right? That it's our son. It's important that we're present. It's important that he sees, right? And I'm fighting for my son. She's with me every step of the way. It isn't my thing. It's our thing. And I think that's 100% dope and deserves another round of applause. And it's been really heavy. It's been really serious. We're going to take another quick break because we do got fun questions. We got a fun segment. So we're going to take another break. Jamar, you did not help at all with this music, because your answer in terms of music was, I like it all, so I can't really pick one. So
like I said, I'm a chill dude, so there's no music genre that I really don't like. Like, just whatever the vibe is, I'm with the vibe.
All right, well, hopefully you're vibing to this, because we're going to listen to the sweet sounds of India Ari. It's The Truth by India Ari.
All right. Yeah.
Let me tell you why I love him.
'Cause he is the truth. Said he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly. Because his light, it shines so bright, I wouldn't lie. No. I remember the very first day that I saw him. I found myself immediately intrigued by him. It's almost like I knew this man from another life. Like back then, maybe I was his husband, maybe he was my wife. And here the things I don't like about him are fine with me. 'Cause it's not hard for me to understand him, 'cause he's so much like me. So much like, and it's truly my pleasure to share his company. And I know that it's God's gift to breathe the air he breathes. Oh, he is the truth. Said he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly, because his light, it shines so bright, I wouldn't lie.
And now it's time to have some fun, Asha and Jamar. We got some questions for you that are going to put you to the test. It's like there are no right or wrong answers. Well, technically, there are no right or wrong answers, but we'll get into it. First question, what's something that your partner does that you wish they would do 24/7?
Me?
You both get to answer.
That they would do 24/7? go ahead, ask that one. Mine's not really answers. Yeah.
Go ahead, say it.
Shut the hell up.
It's funny because I knew he was going to say that.
It's not. It sounds bad. It sounds worse. It sounds worse when I say it out loud, but like, just shut up.
He told me to shut up at least 5 times a day.
Like, she'll be complaining about nothing. and then when I don't respond with okay or oh, okay, yeah. Do you hear me? Did you hang up? I'm like, no, I'm here. I didn't know I had to answer. It's like, yeah.
I like verbal cues. Like, acknowledge that you hear me speaking, sir.
Yeah. Just don't nag about the littlest things. It could be the smallest thing. I cleaned the kitchen counter off, and you left your water bottle on the counter. Like, bro, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. You did a great job. It's still clean.
But it's not like you tainted it with the water bottle.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's always after I leave or I'm doing something, and yeah, just stop.
So you wish he would not talk 24/7. So never.
I can go 24/4. See how that would go. 24/4. But it wouldn't happen. She has to say something. Unless Judge Judy's on.
Then, I love that show.
Then it's telling me to shut up. Like, don't talk. Literally go anywhere else inside the house. Just don't talk. What's mine?
I don't have one for you.
I'm pretty sure you could think of one.
No,
nothing that he does that you wish he can do 24/7.
No, I don't have anything. Mm-mm. You got one for me?
Nah. Yeah. I probably thought, I thought you were going to say cuddle.
No, because I'll be hot. Now. I sleep with my own fan at this point, so yeah, no.
It's off me.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was gonna say cuddle. So yeah. That's a good one.
So yeah, no. I don't have one, guys.
Cool.
He's like, I don't have
no circle that back to it.
Next question. Let's get it.
If you can give up one chore for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, one chore.
Ooh. Unloading the dishwasher. Oh my God. I absolutely hate it.
You give it up now.
That's the egg for the rest of my life. See you later.
One chore for the rest of my life. I would have to say.
Oh, I got one more too.
Wait, what's your one more?
I hate maiden socks.
Oh my God. One chore the rest of my life, I would have to say folding clothes. Folding, I have a method to my madness, but folding clothes. I'm very good at it. I can do my thing. Just give me my moment, my space. I'll knock them out. 3-4 baskets, don't matter. I got it. Yeah. And I'm a sock kind of freak. So I make all the socks.
Why I hate mating them.
Yeah, because she makes my socks and I put them on. I'm like, this sock doesn't even go with the sock. But she's like, they're white socks. What does it matter? I'm like, no, look at the fade on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Match up.
Hey. You messed up my socks, bro. My whole day's messed up. My socks are messed up.
You got me wearing two lefts.
Yeah, so yeah, one chore. Yeah, I'd say folding clothes. Yep, I'll stick with that one.
Okay, I need you guys to settle a debate for us.
I think you say you had one more.
Oh yeah, you did. You said,
oh, it was main socks.
So you're technically sneaking in two. You're not unloading the dishes and you're not main socks.
No.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So we need you to settle a debate, babe. Let them know. There's a debate between the two of us that we need you to help settle.
So what is your preference with eating grits? Butter and sugar or butter and salt and pepper?
I'm about to tear both those up.
Well, you gotta pick one of those.
I gotta pick one of those?
One of those.
Butter and sugar, or what? Butter
salt
and
pepper.
Salt and pepper. What I really want to pick, I'm not gonna say, but it's closer to butter and sugar.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, knowing her, it's salt and pepper. She will pepper the hell out of that motherfucker.
I like a lot of pepper.
Bro, she peppers her salad like it's like she's seasoning meat. I'm like, bro, it's
Yep.
I need to hear you say your answer, Asha.
It is salt and pepper.
Okay, so Jamar, so what would you do with your grits?
What did you want to answer?
Oh, syrup.
Yeah. Syrup. Oh, okay.
That's why I say it's closer to butter and sugar. Mm. Yeah, syrup. Mm. But I would never eat grits like just like grits and eggs or something like that. Now, shrimp and grits, I can eat that just how it is with some cheese. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but like just grits, I probably have to just throw a little syrup on just for the sweetness. So I probably would do butter and sugar if I had to substitute, like no syrup. Yeah, butter and sugar. I like the little sweet. Right. Yeah.
Only way to go.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're butter? Ah, butter okay. And sugar.
Butter and sugar.
Okay. You're salt and pepper, D?
Yeah, of course. I was raised appropriately.
Okay.
Whoa.
You were raised by wolves, clearly.
The fact that you take it to the level of like what's appropriate, I would think
it's appropriate.
This is the guy who puts sugar on his rice with gravy. Like, what the hell? Who does that?
Well, not with gravy, but I do put sugar on my rice. I put
sugar on my rice. That's fire.
That's not okay.
Butter
and sugar, fire. Yeah.
So clearly, when we have you two over for dinner, we have to do a wife swap type of situation with the meals because Asha and me are going to be sharing the condiments and you two are going to taint your food with sugar and syrup all over food that was never intended to happen.
You're good. You're good. You're good. Don't let nobody defer you from that.
Oh,
all right.
They're not. Yeah. All my life, I've been doing this.
So yeah. Here,
why do you melt now-laters into your
it's
into
not
your
the
rice?
Same. It's not the same.
You put cotton candy on
and
your
he's
rice.
The only one in the house that wants salt and pepper.
Well, that's because you raised my children wrong, but that's fine. It's all good.
Yeah. They know.
They look at me like I'm weird, and I'm like, this is how 99.9% of the world eats their rice.
Question. Miracle Whip or mayonnaise?
Ooh, settle that debate for us. Settle that debate right now. Drop it. Miracle Whip or mayonnaise?
You know, honestly, it doesn't really matter to me.
Mm.
Full disclosure, like I grew up on Miracle Whip, if that matters. I grew up on Miracle Whip, but I've always viewed Miracle Whip as mayonnaise. Like, I didn't know it was a thing. You know,
me neither.
That it was one or the other.
Even going to restaurants.
Yeah. So
they don't have Miracle Whip, do they?
No, they have mayonnaise because Miracle Whip is a salad dressing. I'm sorry.
Is it?
It's yes. Not mayonnaise.
It's to not me, mayonnaise?
No, it's not at all.
It's technically Miracle Whip, but I didn't know that until I got with her. Who kills my childhood dreams?
Me.
No, I used to have. I mean, there was households like my aunts and stuff, or you know, I've had it before as mayonnaise. But then as I got older, like doesn't even taste the same.
Yeah.
No, Miracle Whip and mayonnaise do not taste the same.
They're completely different.
I guess I haven't even had Miracle Whip long enough to even remember there being a difference.
No, this is different.
And nice. I don't necessarily. I didn't grow up eating like cold sandwich. Like I wasn't a ham
you're not
sandwich
really
kid.
I
wouldn't have known.
I love mayonnaise. I mean, love, you know, if I'm gonna eat on my sandwich, I need to have the extra and all that stuff. So you can definitely taste the
crazy when I go out and eat. Yes, extra. Like you know what I mean, extra mayonnaise. Yeah, but when I'm at home, it's gotta be Miracle Whip.
Mm.
It's crazy. Like industry miracle mayonnaise doesn't taste like my at home mayonnaise. It's like this don't even taste right. Yeah, so
I just I couldn't settle that for you guys. I'll put that on her shoulder.
No, I mean I think mayonnaise, real mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I mean better. We have what Best Foods downstairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that works for me. Like when I do make my burger, I gotta have some mayo on it. A homemade house burger. I need my
what if I buy Miracle Whip,
I would just put it on there, and I learned something new every day. And today I learned that Miracle Whip is not mayonnaise. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please don't kill me in the comments. Sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right. So we need you to pick one of the following options. This has been a very spicy topic, but there is no right or wrong. Well, there's no wrong answer. I'll say that. So you got to pick one.
Yep.
A quickie every day. B, good sex twice a week. Or C, amazing sex once a week.
Ooh. I'm going with C.
I'm going with BC.
You gotta choose one, bro. I can't choose one.
We just had this conversation. This is things that come up in our household. It's okay.
And all it's right? Okay. So okay. Let's dive into it. What was the conversation? I'm gonna make you pick one of those three. So we are gonna circle back to the actual question.
That's fine. But our conversation was we have codes, like levels 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, you let me know how you're feeling that night. You want a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's right? Healthy.
Like, there's and levels.
We literally broke it
down. One. No. One's the quickie. Two is.
What did we say? Two was. I thought you took notes.
I know I did. I
wrote it down. Put it on your headboard.
One is for sure quickie.
Two is actual, you know, sex.
Yeah.
But plus, like, sucking and, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
nipples and all that good stuff or whatever.
Yep.
Three is sex plus oral.
Yep.
Four is 1 through 3. And five is 1 through 4 with toys.
Wait, how do you? Okay.
Ooh.
Come on.
So when you got three, you got number four. How do you do a quickie and
all that? It's a mixture, right? So it's not a quickie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. But it's kind of just all doing all of the above. Like you're doing
all exactly. The above, right? So yeah. four is 1 through 3 together combined, right?
Okay.
Five is 1 through 4 with toys.
Okay. So how does this work? So like you're getting in the mood and then you just be like, you just yell out two?
No.
Okay.
No, it's predetermined.
We gotta kind of plan this stuff.
It's premeditated. How are you feeling at that moment?
Yeah.
Not that moment, but in that day. Like, all right, bro, it's been a couple of days. It's been, all week. I'm gonna need a five, right? To get me where I need to be, right? Yeah. To get me at that level, right? Or just give me a one and I'll be cool. You know what I mean? Right. Instead of having to verbally say the thing, right? Or say what it is, or say what you want. Just give me a number and I know mentally where I need to be, right? Either I need to match your level or I need to come back and be like, I can do a one, right? Or I can do a three. You know what I mean? So it's levels, right? You gotta how we matching each other's level. You might wake up and be like, man, just give me a one and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Catch me in a couple of days. Or I'm gonna need a one for the next couple of days. Like, that's how I'm feeling. I'm right. I'm at that level. So yeah, we came up our own little scale. So pretty dope. It's pretty dope.
I've never heard of that.
This is a first. You heard it here first.
Hey, but we have kids, bro. And they're one is nosy. You gotta lock the door and barricade it because she'll pick the lock or something. It's what it is. The other one don't even care. He's asleep or I'm on a video game or whatever. But that younger one is persistent.
Very much so.
Mom, why do you keep saying five?
Yeah. Yeah. So just, and then she don't go to sleep. It's like,
look, it's 11:15. She's still up.
She's still up whining because she wants somebody to come late with her.
All right, so now that we understand your system, and I don't know if we're going to steal it, but I'm pretty sure that there's people listening like, somebody's going to their spouse like, give me a five right now.
Yeah.
Going to high five. No, I don't want no damn high five. I want a five.
Hey, you're okay to steal it, people. If you need to use it, if you got kids, I understand. If you know, it's just our love language, you know. It's how we talk.
I mean, it's the way you guys, you know, you communicate.
It's how we communicate.
Without having to say, hey, I want just this and this.
Exactly.
Because sometimes listing it out can kind of ruin a moment. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I don't want to have to tell you verbatim every single time what I want done. You know what I mean? Just let me get a number 4 today. You know,
I was gonna say, you guys turned it into a drive-through thing.
Yeah.
Let me get a number 3, supersize it real quick.
Yeah. So I have a question. What if you choose number 2, but and I don't remember everything that was on any of them, but if you choose number 2, but like, let's say somebody's in the mood to want to do number 3, can they not do that? So like,
that's where you kind of like, all right, what do you have that time for, right? That's that time, because you might not have time for 3, even though that person wants 3. You might just have to be, give me a 1, because yeah, I'm going to sleep. Or,
no, but I'm saying, what if you're in? Oh, okay, you can go to sleep.
Yeah. It's all about the time.
What if you're needing deep into it and it's like, okay, well, one person wants something else. Can you not do that something else? You got to wait till the next time? Or like, can it just kind of go? Because
if you're in the moment, you're in the moment. Then.
So a 1 could evolve to a different number mid game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For sure. You can get to that point.
You know, every now and again, you could get some extra fries in your bag. I'm just saying.
No, facts. I know if I worked in a fast food restaurant, I'm definitely extra frying it. What? I mean, we don't eat fast food like that, but just think about McDonald's. They be skimming you, right? Like, if I'm at the drive-thru, I'm looking in the window. Oh, breath, got you. Give you extra, you know, a little something on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Supersize the nuggets and everything. I love it. Sure. Okay, yeah. So let's circle back, though, because this BC thing's just not going to work. You got to pick one. So it's either A, the quickie every day, B, good sex twice a week, or C, amazing sex once a week, which Asha just quickly was like, give me the C. We'll go into, like, the why,
Dang it, that's hard. Because... Yeah. Because C can be satisfying for a whole week. You'd be like, oh, I'm good, bro. Yeah. You was being weird to me. It can be good. You can be good with a C, but I'm going to have to go B. I'm
going to stick with that. And your reason behind B is the frequency, the more than once a week?
The frequency, yeah. And yeah, the frequency. Instead of frequency.
Right. And then, Asha, you picked C.
Yes, I did. My drive is not that high. So one time a week is enough for me, especially because as a mom, my brain is always going 17 different ways. And sometimes I may not be driven to have sex with him at this moment. Not saying like I don't want to, but my brain is somewhere else. And for women, it's more mental and emotional than it is physical for us. So give me that one good time. I'll put on a great show for you. We'll be all good. Check me back in 7 days and we'll be good.
And Jamar, you made a great point. You know, you might be good. Like if it's amazing, I might need a whole bye week just to recover. Like that was a football game. Like,
that's what I'm saying. So it's like it's a BC situation depending on the week, right? You gotta know yourself, right? You might have a crazy work week. You're like, man, all I can give you is an A right now. All right. You might have a lazy work week. You're like, I got the energy for a C. how you want. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends, right? It just depends. And then most couples have kids, so you got to work in kids' activities and things like that. So it just depends. That's why I dibble and dabble. But C can be also an answer too, because it can be like, yeah, I got you. Now leave me alone.
That's about right.
Don't circle back, right? Catch me next week.
Mm-hmm. So. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you guys so much. We're going to do a little bit of housekeeping, get you guys out of here. That was Asha and Jamar sharing with us pieces to their puzzle of love. For those out there who are listening and may not subscribe, you can follow us on any of those socials down there that you're seeing. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you're watching, you're already seeing us on YouTube. So go ahead and click that subscribe button. Make sure you hit that bell so that you get the notifications whenever new content drops. Smash that like button. Comment, share, like, subscribe. The whole nine yards. Talk to us and we'll talk back, even through email. So ping us, let us know. And until next time, with another wonderful couple, I am your Sucker for Love host, Dante, again with the dazzling Quilina.